Thank you very much. I just want to say I won't be issuing any of these at all. And actually, it might come up this morning, fear of punishment. What I would like to speak about, though, first I want to just say that my heart for coming to you with this is that you know freedom from fear. So this isn't an intellectual activity, or isn't only, maybe it is. I want it to. My heart is that it first is about you and your spirit connecting with Holy Spirit, and because He wants you to be free. God wants you to be free from fear completely, and I'm going to explain that a bit more. As I go through speaking, I'm going to be highlighting and saying some things that may resonate with you as something that you feel fearful about. I felt that God was saying for me to do this. So some of these things you won't recognize, or they won't resonate with you, and you won't feel any connection to. Some of these things might hit you in your spirit as, well, God might be just saying, hey, this is you. And that's not in a condemnation way. It's because His heart for you is freedom. And if you want freedom from those things, I just encourage you to either write them down. I didn't bring any pen and paper, I'm afraid. Or just take a note or try and remember. God will remind you. He will remind you if you need reminding. So hopefully it'll be clear when I highlight those things as we go through. I'm going to help you later on to know what to do with that. There's also going to be people around, I hope, at the end. I haven't asked them yet. But I'm sure there will be, who can help you to pray through very easily of how to break these things off. Okay, it's actually very easy. All right. So does that make sense? Brilliant. So I just want to start by asking the question, what is fear? So I had a number of things come to me. One of them, and this morning this came to me actually, fear is the holding of a negative projection of the future that calls out a self-protective response. So that's not from the dictionary, that's just something I feel God gave to me. So fear as an emotion can be quite useful. But I'm having this conversation with Dom, I almost don't want to call that fear, because actually, if you've got a lion running towards you, it's right that your body responds in a way to get you out of the situation, okay? So it's right that God has given us ways to look after us, our bodies and ourselves. But I almost don't want to be tempted to call this fear. I know it is fear. Okay, so I hope this makes sense. It would almost be really helpful if that was called something else, because that's very different to what I'm talking about today. So today, I'd like to speak about when we put ourselves into a position and make an agreement and a partnership with something that isn't true, isn't from God, okay? And basically, in doing so, we're saying, I can't trust God. God can't be trusted, okay? So the example of the lion running towards you, you can respond to that lion, get out of the situation, if you're fast enough. and yet not hold a fear of lions. And every time you see a picture of a lion, go all funny inside, yeah? Do you see the difference? Okay. So I'm not talking about our response like when we're walking on the edge of a cliff and we just want to keep ourselves a little bit away. But there may be a fine line to draw there, and only God can draw that line, okay? So we're just going to get rid of that. In that, I want to just highlight phobias as one of those things that God might be putting His finger on in you today. Okay, so where we do take partnership with that fear, we take it along with us wherever we go. Okay, so if they're, you know, just to highlight the word phobia as something that you might want to deal with today. So fear, what is fear? It can be immobilizing for the life led by God. So it prevents us from moving forward in the things of God. Okay, so for example, fear that I don't look acceptable in the eyes of my culture. Okay, if I hold that fear, then I'll spend all my time and energy, including my emotional energy, trying to reach an image put upon me by the world, and therefore be taking time and energy away from what God's given me to do. Okay? So you can see how by partnering with a fear, we can be diverted in what we do, what we spend our time and energy doing. Okay? And that's what where Satan wants us, basically, just basically diverted from what God wants us to be doing. So, okay. Just one other little question. What is fear? And it was mentioned by Martin a minute ago. What about fear of God? And this is another thing where I almost would love there to be a different word for it. Okay, so fear of God, I find it helpful to replace the word fear with the words utmost honor and respect, which is huge. I mean, when we are faced with God, when we see a glimpse of him, this calls out something in our spirit of utmost honor and utmost respect, but it isn't akin to fear, as in what we're talking about today. Does that make sense? Okay, so in there, I just want to highlight another possible fear that might be here today, which is a fear of approaching God. Okay, if you're feeling a fear of actually approaching God because of what he might do to you, then that's not from him, okay, because he's good. He is all good. So there's a separation here from a fear of God, which is about respect and honor, and a fear of coming into his presence because it's dangerous for you. Okay. When you're covered by the blood of Jesus, you don't need to fear being in his presence. Okay. In fact, that gives us a boldness to approach him. Okay. It says in Hebrews 4, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He wants us to approach him with boldly. Okay, so I just want to ask another question. Why does God tell us not to be afraid? Why is it so important? Now, it says, a lot of people say, or some people say that it says in the Bible, don't be afraid 365 times. I have done a bit of research, and I don't think that's actually true. Okay, some people say there's one for every day of the year, but it does say a lot of times, probably more than 100, okay, in various ways. So why does God tell us not to be afraid? I just want you all to close your eyes, if you will. Don't worry, don't be afraid. Imagine your life lived without fear. No fear. What would you do differently? How would you spend your time? Without the fear that you don't hear God speaking to you, which isn't true, how would you hear God? What would be stopping you from pursuing the exciting things that he has for you to do? What would your days look like, free from worry about what people think of you? Free from worry about your finances? Free from worry about your health and the health of those you love? Free from the fear of possible problems in the future. Free from the fear of pain, of death, even. Free from the fear of not having enough today, tomorrow, next week. If you could even begin to imagine that, that's why God tells us not to be afraid. Because he has that for us. You'll be free to live in his plans and purposes, to be able to partner with him all the time, and to have the adventure of a lifetime and of eternity. So, how do we get free from fear? I want to tell you it's easy. Do you believe me? You might not believe me, and that's okay, but it's still true. It's easy because God has told us. It's easy because of what Jesus has done for us. It's easy because he has taken away fear. Okay? So all we have to do is surrender to him and put ourselves into alignment with what he says and out of alignment with lies. And I'm telling you, it's easy. If it wasn't easy, it wouldn't be God. I'm not saying that there aren't challenges associated with it. But it is easy. Okay. And that might be hard for your head to understand, so just bypass your head and let it go to your spirit. Okay? So therein may be another couple of fears that may arise in you. If it's not something I say, it might be something God's put in, you know, showing you. But one of the things I thought was fear that it's difficult. Fear of Satan's power in my life. Fear that I can't get free from fear. I've tried before and it comes back. Okay. He wants us free of all of this. Now God's already dealt with fear at the cross, and it's our time to do our bit. Okay. Okay, so we've made agreement with fear in the past. If we're living in fear, then it's because we've made agreement to be there. Okay, so we may have done that with our confession. I'm scared of spiders. We're never going to have enough money next month. Okay, can you hear that that's not the truth? That's not the truth in heaven. So we speak out that thing and we come into agreement with it. Okay, then we've made power for that. Okay, sometimes we don't even realize that we join in with the fear all around us. If I don't pass my exams, my life will be awful. Okay. Or I have to have the right car or else I'll be unhappy. Insert whatever you want. Clothes, house. Okay. Sometimes we don't even realize we've come into agreement with things. And sometimes it may have been when we were a child, when we didn't know any better. Sometimes it may have been in our generational line when weren't even there. But still God can deal with it. Okay? Because he's told us it's for freedom. I've set you free. Okay. If you want to live a life of freedom, be bold. Don't back away from doing your dealings with fear. God will show us. He will show us when we ask him, and then we have the choice to align ourselves with what he has done for us. We can ask forgiveness, and we can break agreement with the fear he shows us. And then we can opt into living in freedom. And I can show you how to do that. Okay. So, okay, if it's so simple, why aren't we all free from fear? Okay, here's some things I thought of. We don't know we're bound in fear. That's one reason we aren't free. Okay. Am I making sense? Is this making sense, everybody? Okay. Just checking. We don't always know we're bound in it. Yeah. We're deceived. Okay. There's no shame. There's no shame because we're in God. But if we want to be free, we can ask him and he will show us. He will show us. Okay. We're so used to living in fear, or we can be, because we're surrounded by a culture that actually thrives on fear. Okay? So fear that you don't measure up. Think about how many places that's promoted. You only have to put the TV on for a few minutes, and every advert says, you're not good enough. You need this. Fear of poverty, fear of danger, fear of loss, fear that there isn't enough, fear of missing out. Which is called FOMO, apparently. And you can get T-shirts. FOMO fuels my life, I saw. FOMO queen. Can't sleep, got FOMO. Fear of missing out is huge. Okay. Holy Spirit will show up what we've agreed with, okay? And we can trust him. Okay. We can trust him. We can let go of the fear that God isn't all good, and we can trust him. Once we start and we take that bold step, now I'm speaking about this from experience, okay? I mean, I am honestly speaking from experience. I lived a life bound in fear. I grew up in the church, but I was bound by fear. I couldn't walk across the road without being scared. I couldn't imagine getting a job. I was terrified. Tony and Lindsay would remember me as a teenager coming down to Bognor and working in the bookshop because I was scared. I aced every exam I ever did, but I was terrified of actually going into a workplace. I was terrified of getting a train to Bognor that first time I did it. I was scared of practically everything. So I'm not speaking about this to you and saying, come on. I'm saying, look. It's, you can do it. Because he did it. Because he's done it for you. Okay, and so when you take that first, and I think it is bold, that first brave step and you say, okay, I want to be free. Then we start to taste freedom and we start to recognize increasingly where we're caught up. And it's just great because we just get to walk out of it. It is incredible, okay? Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is in us, there is freedom. But we who with unveiled faces, so without fear, we all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. Okay, that's in 2 Corinthians 3:17. As we taste freedom, he gives us ever-increasing glory. We just keep walking. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It's amazing. Okay. So why else are we not all free from fear? There's another few things that came to me. One is that if we look around us, we see that many of man's systems are actually based on fear. Okay? So here's some examples. If you eat that, you might get dot, dot, dot. Okay. If you don't buy this thing, again, you won't be happy. If you don't do what I say, I'll punish you. If you don't protect yourself and your family from dot, 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 then dot, dot, dot will be your fault if it all goes wrong. If you don't do things right, you will be punished. Now that sounds good, doesn't it? But can you see how it's based in fear? Okay, in heaven, there's no threat of punishment if you don't do the right thing. Jesus came to release us from that. Okay? Because having been resurrected in glory, we will naturally choose God's way, and we can start to taste this now. If you don't, in order to ace life, you need to give all your time and money to me. Okay, kingdom culture is different to all of that. None of that is there in the kingdom. All right? Now, you might be thinking, oh my goodness, there would be anarchy. It's not true. Okay, so that's another reason many of us still walk around in fear is because we're actually frightened to let it go. What on earth would it look like if I was free from fear? That maybe wouldn't be good, okay? What would it look like if I didn't have this addiction? I don't know if life would be so good. I don't know if actually it will be fun for me to give that thing up. Or, if I let my children free from punishment, what might happen to them if I don't punish them? Or I don't punish people around me because they might get away with it, with what they did and all this stuff, okay? And I'm just talking about fear here, and I know this. Some of this stuff is big. I'm just talking about what God's done in my life. All right, and I'm happy to expand on anything that I'm saying here in another time. I don't have long. So if there's anything you think, what? Then please come and talk to me. I'm happy to talk to you about it. I'm happy for you to talk to me about what you think about it. But what will happen if I let go of fear? Would anarchy reign? If we all were let go of fear, would anarchy reign here? Well, no, it wouldn't, because Lord God is God, and we serve him, and all of this is in service to him, to bring him glory. And when that is the center of our lives, we get to be free from fear, into his glory, and into the best way to do life, together, on our own, you know, in our walk together. When we are free from fear, what he replaces fear with is better than anything we could ever imagine. We don't need to protect ourselves or the people around us with fear. It is a bad protector. It's a lie. But he is a very good protector. And he is true. And is truth. I am a way down this journey to where I now believe that life is better without fear. Talk to me about it. I won't lie to you, there's a certain amount of discomfort in the process. I'm not talking about comfort. But what God frees us into is amazing, okay? It's life-giving, it's peaceful, it's exciting, it's efficient. It's energy-filling, it's fun, it isn't anarchy. He replaces our fear with the most incredible gifts. And I want to tell you so many stories, and I haven't got time. But I will, come and talk to me. Okay. So fears can stack up, okay? I don't know if I've got really time to talk about that, but we're frightened to let go of fear. Can you see that's a fear? And one fear doesn't justify another fear, all right? But once God starts to unstack those things, there's a cascade that happens in our lives, which is awesome. And it is so good. And it spills into everything we are. And it frees us not to be immobilized. Because I can't go here, and I can't go there, and I can't go there, and I can't go here. It frees us to move with his spirit. Just to move with his spirit. Just like Jesus did. Isn't it cool? It's good, isn't it? Okay, when God said, don't be afraid, this is a little aside in the Bible. He often followed it by a reasoning which was based on lifting a person's perspective to a heavenly, eternal perspective. Let me explain. God wasn't telling people not to be afraid because he was going to transform their situation and make it all hunky-dory and comfortable for them. Okay. Though he does do this sometimes for us. This isn't the, It's not the condition on which I look for freedom. The condition that if God, okay, well, if I walk into freedom, you're going to make everything okay for me. That's not freedom. Okay? In responding to a person's desire, so this is in the Bible, and there's many, many places where he says, don't be afraid. Please go and look. It's incredible. In responding to a person's desire to have more faith in him than in themselves and the need for comfortable circumstances, God answered these people in the depths of their being that he was, in fact, to be trusted, to see him have his way in the redemption of all things, to hold to the master plan. So an example is it with Paul at the end of Acts, okay? Paul was, at the end of Acts, in quite a sticky situation, yeah? He'd been arrested, put in jail, left there waiting for 2 years. Then he was pulled out. Then he was, you know, taken here, taken there. He ended up in a boat with a whole load of other prisoners. Okay, and there was God told him there's going to be a storm. And Paul said to the guys that were going to take him on the boat, please, let's not go. There's going to be a storm. They ignored him, got on the boat anyway. So it was awful, right? A mess. Okay. And in the middle of this storm, I'm going to read. So this is Acts 27. I'm going to go from verse 21, I think. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them, so all those other people on the boat, the prisoners and all the guards, and said to him, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. But you did." And he kind of is like, "Well, never mind. Okay. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the Lord, to whom I belong." And that's really, really important, okay? So freedom from fear comes from us being in sonship, okay? To whom I belong, where am I? And whom I serve, that's really important as well. This isn't about pride. It's not about us getting what we want. It's about serving God. And this angel said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you." So God said, "Don't be afraid. I've got something for you to be doing. My plan is still in process. You're going to see Caesar." Now that didn't spell out like, "Oh, that'll be really nice to Paul." It wasn't like, "Don't be afraid. I've got this kind of cushion for you and a lovely place. You can go on holiday for a few weeks. It's all going to be fine when you get off the boat." No, "Don't be afraid. I'm still working out my plans in your life." Okay. Now, when God says to us, "Don't be afraid," he speaks to our spirit. He speaks spirit to spirit. And when he says, "Don't be afraid," that's what we call revelation. When I say to Lizzie, "Don't be afraid," that's can be head knowledge. Okay, I can speak it to Lizzie and she can hear it from God as I speak it, and that's revelation. Now, when God reveals to you in your spirit, "Don't be afraid," you're not afraid. A revelation changes something in you, okay? It actually can change our brains. More on that another time. Could I have a bit more water, possibly, please? Thank you, Lizzie. I've got to wrap up. Okay. Basically, freedom from fear doesn't mean into comfort. It does mean into the plans and purposes of God, which is better than comfort. And you only can know that by experience. And I know there's a lot of people here who know that by experience. Thank you. And we can stand alongside each other while that feels like a bumpy road, and we can help each other through to say, "Actually, yes, even though this won't necessarily be comfortable, it will be good, and I want this." So we can stand next to each other in that process and help each other through, okay? The bumpy ride. Okay. So another reason we're not all free from fear. We may disagree with the fear in our mind, okay? So it might be irrational, but we haven't yet dealt with our partnership with it in the spirit, okay? And that's why we still walk in and we're like, "Why on earth do I keep doing this?" I just want to say here very quickly, actually, that a lot of the things we struggle with, I think, are based in fear. So an example of this would be, for me, I was angry in the night when the children woke me up. And I got angry. And when I went to God with it and said, "Oh, how can I stop being angry with the children? They're like kids. They don't know what they're doing. I don't want to respond to them in anger." He said, "You're frightened." I'm like, "What?" "You're frightened that tomorrow you won't have enough energy." I was like, "Oh, wow. Yeah, I am." So once I gave that up, I broke my marriage with that, my partnership with that thing that I'd agreed with. I wasn't angry when I was woken up in the night anymore. Okay? And there is a habit changing that needs to go on. So then I wake up and I'll be like, and I'm like, "Oh no, I'm not afraid actually, it's fine, you know." And then we're released to do all the things he wants us to do, which is love and cuddle our kids in the night when they're friend, etc. Okay, another thing very quickly, and I don't know if I've got time to share this. I really want to. Can I have a few extra minutes? Okay. We believe that some fears are from God. Okay. One might be fear that I'm not good enough for him. One might be fear that I haven't done enough to earn his approval. And these, again, are things we're like, I kind of know this isn't true, but something in me is still frightened. And that's where we just need to come into his presence and find out what the root of this is. And we can do this with you guys, okay? There's lots of us who can help you with this. Find out where this comes from. Go to the source of it. And get rid of it there. And Holy Spirit guides us there, okay? He's safe. He guides us to show us how to do that. Okay, and then another fear I just want to just touch on today. Because I think God asked me to do this, but I'm a bit scared too. so I'm just going to do it anyway. I'm not really scared. I'm just... Okay, one of the fears I think that we think is from God is fear of deception. Okay, when I partnered with fear of deception, I was immobilized. You might have seen some of that a few weeks ago when I was saying, God's doing something big in me. And I was leading worship and I came at home and shared about Peter in the boat. Okay, this is some of what God was doing in me. I was immobilized through fear of deception. I couldn't think of anything that was right, wrong, because there's so much out there that I was immobilized to do what God wanted me to do because I was frightened of being deceived by the wrong thing, okay? Fear of deception is fear. Now, don't hear me wrong or hear me right. Deception is not good. Deception isn't what God wants us to be in, okay? It's not from God, and it's not good for us. Fear of deception is fear. It's not from God. It's not good for us. Okay. Deception itself is not a good thing. Just like poverty, loss, death, being eaten by lions, they're not inherently good things, okay? But when we are joining in and living in fear of any of these, we will not get freedom. So if we partner with fear of deception, we are not in freedom. Okay, we won't be able to effectively advance the kingdom, being able to respond to what God is doing and saying to us, while we remain in fear of being deceived. Okay, now we live in a world of information. This is the age of information. It's not always easy. We have a world of opinions. We have opinions at our fingertips, okay? Very convincing ones at that, okay? We have ideas at our fingertips. Everyone can say whatever they think, and it's all out there for everyone to hear and read, okay? This can be a dangerous thing, all right? This is not where God is telling us to get life from, all right? It causes us to go searching everywhere else but to God for what is right and what is wrong. Now, does that ring any bells? What's right and what's wrong? Yeah, that's the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yeah, what's right and what's wrong? If I can find that out, then I'll just do the right thing. Okay, that's not God's heart for us. Okay, this is the search of the fallen state of mankind. A major key for this is knowing his voice. Okay. In John 10, verse 27, when Jesus speaks of himself being the good shepherd, hear the word good. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Okay. To know where he is leading us, we receive it by revelation, not by intelligent learning. And that's how we know. We come into communion with God. We foster intimacy with him so that we know his voice. Okay. We seek first the kingdom of God, and then everything else is added. Okay, hear where I'm going with this. Once we know his voice, we know that we can walk forwards taking Jesus into every situation, okay? And we come to know his ways. And I just want to say that his ways are greatly and deeply mysterious, i.e. they are things we don't yet know. So as we follow him, he's going to start revealing the mysteries of heaven to us. The mysteries of heaven aren't things that we already know, so they can feel a bit uncomfortable sometimes. All right? But when we know his voice, we know he's safe, and we know he's good, we know that we aren't at danger of being snatched away from him, which is the fear. Does that make sense? Okay. He makes known to us the mysteries by revelation. And it's amazing. John 2, verse 27, and I'm just about finished, says, but the anointing which you have received abides in you. So this is after Paul talks about just the whole thing about possibly being deceived. But the anointing which you have received abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it's been taught you, you will abide in him. It's basically saying that you know, when you're connected to him and you know his voice, he teaches you. And we teach each other and we help each other. But even what I'm saying today, I'm not encouraging you to take all my words and go away and just sort of click it into your life. I'm encouraging you to go away and talk to him and find out what he's saying to you. Okay? And that's how we teach, that's how we lead each other and we help each other. Okay. So hear the truth from him. And when he speaks it to us, he speaks to our spirit. It's not just head knowledge, it's revelation. And so I just want to say today, I've said a lot of things. And if some things you didn't get or didn't connect with you, just leave them. It's fine. He'll show you, if he needs you to know them, he'll show you another time. But if there is something that's connected with you in your spirit, and you'll know if that's the case, then I just want to encourage you to be bold and take a step towards freedom. Okay? Fear is easily dealt with. We can break our agreement with it. Okay? He's dealt with the contract. He's dealt with the big deal by dying on the cross. He's taken it away. So now we can say, I come out of agreement with fear. I come into agreement with the truth. And the truth will always set you free. And the truth will always be better than what you could have done for yourself in partnership with fear. Okay. And so come to people with, you know, we might not have a lot of time today, but if we could have a little bit more worship, come to me or Lizzie, is that okay? Or anyone else who's able to pray with you like this, and just, we will help you to break agreement with the fear that you may have come into agreement with. And just watch what happens when you take hold of truth. So we don't just break agreement with fear. He tells us the truth. And then we go, wow, you've revealed that to me. Now I'm like different. And I'm going to walk out in that. And you just watch what happens to you. Your life will change. It will. Bless you all. Thank you for listening.